Please pray with me. Oh God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. This morning's New Testament reading is from the 10th chapter of Matthew. In this chapter, Jesus teaches the apostles what it truly means to be his disciples. This section is found at the end of the chapter and has some words that might sound pretty harsh to us today. But we need to remember that Matthew is speaking to a Jewish Christian community. There is no separate Christian church yet. So those hearing these words would be living and worshiping with people who saw Jesus from very different perspectives. Some accepted him as the long-awaited Savior, and others rejected him as the Messiah. These would be husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins and co-workers. The differences in what they believed would be enormous as they continued to live in community together. A reading from Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. And Jesus taught them, saying, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the word of the Lord. This passage is part of the Revised Common Lectionary that is the three-year cycle of readings for the Bible used for preaching and worship. Typically, my initial reaction when I read what's up for the week that I'm to preach is, how am I going to connect this to what's really happening in our lives? So while this passage on discipleship and the welcome Christ calls the disciples to embrace might seem odd to us today, as we feel that we have been and continue to say goodbye, but we remember that we are called to equip disciples to send out to the world. Christ's instructions to the disciples here is not something out of left field. Disciples are to go out. Their ministry may be to someplace else, or it may be to us, but it is not stationary. It is never passive. Matthew draws the parallels between the behavior of Jesus and the behavior that is expected of the disciples, and that is to be the same. Jesus is obedient, compassionate, merciful, righteous, just, and the disciples are to be the same. But we know that the disciples struggled mightily with this. But Jesus loved them and led them just the same. In the same way, this is our hope, because we are called to the same behaviors, and we too fail. And Jesus always is with us, welcoming us back. He knows how hard this is. We hear it in the scripture today as he teaches the disciples what they must do, what they must give up, and how they will suffer. The first three verses of this passage typically are not put with this selection in the lectionary, because the last verses sum up the expectations Jesus has been teaching the disciples about. But I find it important to read these verses together, because we see how truly hard the work is that we are called to do and the work that the disciples face. These first verses sound alien to us today. We worry about our children and our parents. Our culture has become almost myopic on the subject. We are distracted beyond belief at times with the love and responsibility of caring for these people we call family. This section brings to mind when Jesus was first calling the disciples, and I think of Zebedee. He was on the Sea of Galilee, mending his nets, when Jesus calls James and John, his sons, to follow him. And there is Zebedee, standing in the boat, with the net in his hand, watching his sons walk away with a stranger, and they don't look back. The life he and his sons planned and dreamed of is gone. I know if this were me, I would be yelling at them to come back, questioning where they were going. But when Jesus talks to the disciples, I think this really becomes clear, these feelings of disconnection and separation. He says, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will find it. I'm sure the disciples were thinking of all the things they had given up, especially the people that they love. They were just beginning their time with Jesus. These ordinary people that he had called, literally people off the streets or fields or the sea. These are the people that Jesus welcomed into ministry, welcomed and invited to journey on the road with him, to spread his message. These were ordinary people whom Jesus would equip to do extraordinary things, to send them out to engage an extraordinary welcome to the world. And that continues today. Last week, Dr. Buchanan told us about some of the ordinary people who had made a difference in his life, people who had opened his eyes in extraordinary ways. And welcoming the prophets among us, the righteous among us, and the little ones can be disconcerting. Listening to a prophet takes courage. The prophet often tells us things that we don't want to hear, things that we do not want to do. And the righteous can make us feel guilty. And the little ones, those who need our welcome most, can make us feel helpless and confused. And this type of welcome, the hospitality Christ calls us to offer, is not something that we can do in isolation, but by joining together we gain strength. And we practice that here. We are equipped here in the church for the purpose of going out into the world and living as Christ's ambassadors. Sometimes that equipping is hard and we would rather not do it. It can pull us apart from our family, divide our friendships. And it also at times means that we have to practice that extraordinary welcome to people that are difficult to offer it to. But Christ calls us to do that. And this message is timely, as we don't want to lose the opportunity for growth that we are seeing in this time that seems very disconcerting to us today. And opportunities that come our way can emerge out of experiences we dread. I will admit that I struggled with systematic theology in seminary, figuring that I would never get it. And out of desperation, I took one more theology class, a missional theology class with Dr. Daryl Guter. He taught a class on Leslie Newbegin, a pastor and missionary to India. He said that Bishop Newbegin's success in working with the Church of South India was that he never walked away. He never gave up. Dr. Guter made theology understandable for me, and he would tell us that if we all were to love our neighbor as Christ calls us to, we would welcome them and we would stay in it together, that we would not walk away no matter what our differences were. And I'll admit that I've drunk from the font of missional theology. That has become my language. And Dr. Guter was my mentor for two of my cohorts that I had at the seminary. And one of the things that he quotes that he often said to us, I say every day to myself, and reminds me of that welcome that we are called to in the world. And it's our daily life becomes a discipline of asking how one may move more squarely into the realm of God's reign, and how one may welcome and receive it into the fabric of one's life this day more than ever, that we weave it into our lives all the time. So that welcome goes with us out. We move out into God's realm. It's not a behavior we only do in a specific place. We go out and offer it to others. In the fabric of our lives, we have the opportunity to provide welcome to our brothers and sisters by turning and seeing them. Welcome is practiced when we turn to see the one we know is suffering, often in the most unlikely of places, like in the grocery store. When we do not turn away because we're afraid that we'll say or do the wrong thing, we turn to them and welcome them in silence, especially when we don't have the words to say. We don't leave each other on the side of the road. We are in this together. Welcome and hospitality is what we crave during this time of transition, reaching out, connecting, and reconnecting with old and new friends, reclaiming our individual and corporate sense of call, growing in confidence to move out into the world as well-equipped disciples, knowing that we always need to come back to be fed and nourished so that we can go back out again. Because the work is hard, but Jesus tells us the reward is great, and our present reward is the action of working together in aligning our lives with God's vision. We may not see the finished product, but we are faithfully holding on to the belief that it will come. And this transitional time is when we all are called to welcome change, this clearing space where we can see new growth, where we can rest just for a minute to see what new things God is doing here. I want to acknowledge that it's probably hard to sit and listen this morning to talk about welcome after hearing that Dave has accepted a new call and as we prepare to send Nick and Kimberly off on their great adventure. I invite us to welcome them into their new ministries, to see this as part of the mystery we are living into, and not to see it as a loss, but to see it as being obedient to the discipline of welcome. We typically think of welcome or hospitality as inviting someone into our home or our space, preparing it ahead of time, getting just the right things, just the right foods. That is an invitation into a space that we know well, a space that we have a lot of control over. The welcome Christ asks us to offer is out of our control. It is a welcome of vulnerability into the unknown and to the different. If we truly welcome someone, we need to step into their space and meet them there. This takes practice. That's why there is the spiritual discipline of hospitality. We need to work at it so that it's not just what we see is needed in the other, but what the other sees that they need to be welcomed with. We need to lose ourselves in what they need so that we can become more alive in the kingdom that Christ calls us to. I was given another opportunity to learn and experience welcome while I was in seminary. At the beginning of each year, they had a gathering for second and some of us third and fourth career students. A senior second career student gave us the best advice about living in community. He said, smile and say hello to everyone you meet. Now, that wasn't something that was really in my comfort zone. I always was afraid that I would be rejected, someone would look away from me, look at me oddly, because I was sort of the odd duck there. Everyone in my class averaged out at about age 28. But I gave it a try, and it became my discipline, my habit. Some people looked at me strangely, some ignored me, but the vast majority responded positively, and through this discipline, I learned to not take things so personally. It forged in me an openness that feels like welcome and hospitality. And this is a welcome that you take out. You could practice at home. You can't practice this at home. This discipline led me to encounters and relationships with a diverse group of people that I would never have engaged with had I kept my head down and gone about my business as usual. And I invite you all to take up this discipline as well, to greet everyone that you see with a smile and to say hello. And that's part of the paradox found when our human relationships are shaded with separation. God calls us to be in relationship with our neighbor, the neighbor that we see out in public. And that neighbor can be abrasive or difficult, and sometimes they don't really like us, or we don't even know them. That neighbor can actually be a family member who needs to be welcomed back again and again. But we are still there to provide hospitality and welcome to all of these that we meet in our homes, in our church, out on the street, in our offices. A time of transition is exciting and can be a little scary. We can offer an extraordinary welcome to each other on this new journey and discover what God will make sure we have to do what we need to do. We can embrace abundance, not scarcity. And the gifts that God has placed in each of us can flourish and be used as we lift our hearts to God, accepting the extraordinary welcome Christ offers and engaging in the movement of the Holy Spirit. And what greater reminder of the welcome that Christ offers to us than we look at this table, the table that Christ welcomes us to again and again, where he feeds and nourishes us, where we are never turned away. We are always welcomed. Amen.